think you're looking at it.
The Commission on Government Forecasting Accountability will come to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Bellick.
Here.
Senator Frerichs.
Here.
Senator Murphy.
Here.
Representative Nekritz.
Yes.
Representative Poe. Representative Riley.
Here.
Senator Schmidt. Senator Schoenberg.
Present.
Senator Severson. Senator Trotter. Representative Tryon. 7 members, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Total of 7 answering the roll. Quorum's present. We have 2 items of business today. The first is agenda item number 2, the proposed closure of the DHFS office located just around the corner at 32 West Randolph Street in Chicago. I don't see anybody here from HFS. So, Ben, do you want to briefly walk us through the backstory on this?
Hi, I'm Ben Varner, Commission on Government Forecast and Accountability staffer, and I'm going to briefly go over what we got for the recommendation of closure for 32 West Randolph. Basically, what the department's going to do is get out of a lease and spread out their services over, I believe, 4 different other locations. Approximately 320 employees will be dispersed to 4 other sites. Those will be 1755 Lake Cook Road in Deerfield, 36 South Wabash in Chicago, 1605 South Emerald in Chicago, and 401 South Clinton in Chicago. There will be no layoffs associated with this closure of this facility, but there will be transfers, and it will do cost some employees to have longer commute times, up to 27 miles in some case. Approximately 295 of these employees are child support service staff, and 25 are Bureau of Collections staff. There's a breakdown in Section 3 of the recommendation. 50 of them will be going to 1755 Lake Cook Road. 50 will be going to 1605 South Emerald. 193, the bulk of them, will be going to 36 South Wabash. And approximately another 50, including the 25 Bureau of Collections, will be going to the South Clinton site.
What's the representative savings of closing this office?
Currently, they are paying $4.4 million per year in the lease. They will be transferring 2 of the 4 sites are state-owned buildings. There will be significant savings there. And the other 2, I believe, will be our leases themselves. Right now, they're paying just under $31 a square foot. The other locations are at a reduced value of about $27.84 per square foot. One of them is more expensive at $32 per square foot.
When does the lease expire? That's all right. This lease is like a vampire. This lease...
I'm sorry. Right now, I just
no. That's
not
all right.
This
lease has materialized. When I first started the legislature, this lease was a satellite office for then Attorney General Hartigan, and it has had many subsequent incarnations. And we've never been able. It's like a vampire. We've never been able to get rid of it. So I think it's highly appropriate that we finally put the stake through its heart.
I will add that the economic impact, there was none. It's in the middle of Chicago, so these jobs aren't being lost or just diverted. So there
no, we're going to say $4.4 million that we didn't have to spend in the first place.
Well, yeah,
okay.
Basically. I mean, you are going to do some other things, but yes, there will be significant savings there. There are about $270,000 in transition costs. It'll be associated with this, but there will be no ongoing cost for like building maintenance or anything, as it is a lease that we're breaking. Don't really know if I have that much more information about the long-term plan or anything. They indicated that there'd be no disruption of services or anything, and they just, like I said, we have had no emails or telephone calls or anything related to this, unlike the other facility closures we've done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically.
So there's no opposition.
Excuse me?
There's absolutely no opposition, correct?
Now, as far as I know, like I said, we've received no telephone calls, no emails, no contact whatsoever associated with this, as there's no jobs being lost. Usually it's not as contentious.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we're going from this one building to four different buildings. Two of the four are state-owned.
Yes.
So if there's any contract or agreement, it's between the agencies and CMS, right?
I believe so, yes.
And then the other two buildings, some of the square footage there is less than the current lease. Some is more. Who owns the two buildings that are privately owned, and how was that process arrived at to choose those two?
I'm sorry, I don't have that information
you
right
now.
You
said one of them's on Lake Cook in
it
Deerfield?
Yes, 1755 Lake Cook Road, the Deerfield one.
Is that the Isaac?
That's
the Isaac
one of the
building.
State. The Deerfield location and the 401 South Clinton buildings are state-owned. The South Emerald and the South Wabash ones are not owned by the state. I'm sorry, I don't have the information related to the leases of the other two.
How long are the leases that we'll be going into?
I'm sorry, I don't have that information.
I recall Senator Garrett, you know, I think somewhat appropriately raising issues about, you know, who we were giving these leases to. I guess I would like to know, you know, if that's something that we can get, who it is that we're, you know, that we're going to be entering into these leases with, for how long, and how those rates compare.
I can get in contact with CMS, and I'm sure they could probably get me that information. Once again, I apologize.
And I know, you know, we're leaving $31 a square foot. Some's 27, which is obviously better. Some's 32. I don't know what 27 and 32 represents by way of the market currently. You know, we entered into 31 a number of years ago in a different market, and I don't know how 27 and 32 compare and what that process is, but those would be things that would be I would personally like to know. I mean, who it is that we're entering into these agreements with, you know, how does $27 and $32 a square foot compare? I don't have an issue with what we're doing here. I'd like to have a little better understanding of what we're leaping into.
I do believe I will add this. I'm not that familiar. There is other state facilities already there. You know what I mean? It's just like we're renting more space from these buildings. But beyond that, I'm sorry, I don't.
What's
have
the address on Wabash? 36.
Yes, 36 South Wabash.
It's the old Carson building. I think the Department of Employment Security is there. But if you could familiarize us with the terms of the lease and with when the expiration dates are, and then whatever the Chicago Loop, the one on Emerald is outside of the loop, but whatever the market rate is, per Senator Murphy's request, that would be great. Those aren't new leases. Those are existing leases that we're just...
Yes,
amending.
I believe so. I believe we're just getting more square footage.
Yeah.
I'll have to get in contact with them.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Representative Riley.
I'm sorry, I don't know whether or not you had mentioned. Who's the lessor of the 32 West Randolph building?
I believe it's through CMS. Excuse me, the owner? I'm not aware of who that is. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious, so along with all the other requests of what's happening with the buildings they're moving to, if you could find that out for me, I'd appreciate it.
Is there any further discussion? No. Is there a motion? Moved by Senator Trotter to accept the recommendation on the proposed closure and relocation of the DHFS office currently located at 32 West Randolph in Chicago, seconded by Representative Bellick. Is there any discussion? Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Bellick. Senator Frerichs. Yes. Senator Murphy. Representative Nekritz. Representative Poe or Representative Riley? Senator Schmidt. Senator Schoenberg.
Aye.
Senator Severson. Senator Trotter. And Representative Tryon. Seven voting aye, Mr. Chairman.
Total of seven yes, none voting no, none voting present. The motion carries. Final item of business is discussion on the awarding of the fiscal 2013 actuarial contract. The commission's longstanding actuary, Shell Goldstein, has retired, staff has put out an RFP, has reviewed half a dozen proposals. All of the members should have the scoring and the staff recommendations. And with that, I'll now call on Dan to go into greater detail.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're seeking, of course, approval of an actuarial contract for fiscal 13. The request comes as a result of the retirement of longtime actuary Sandra Goldstein, who was our actuary as long as I've been with the commission. He was the actuary with the prior to when it was the Pension Laws Commission. I think he's been around probably for 30 years. Long time. And he retired, and it required that we obtain a new actuary. So we issued an RFP in consultation with the co-chairs. We put out an RFP. Six vendors responded, which was a very good response. And then we had staff rank them independently, and then we got together and totaled up the scores. And you can see that Siegel came out on top. Milliman, and then we had the second was DMC Consulting, which is a out-of-state firm that with only a very limited staff. And Cherion was a very good proposal, but outside of our budget. As you can see, they came in at $270,000. The Siegel team, and there's copies of the proposal up there if anybody's interested in looking through them, would be led by Kim Nickel, who has over 25 years of experience as a public sector actuary. Prior to joining Siegel, Kim served as the lead actuary for TRS for 6 years during her tenure with Buck Consultants. Siegel's also recently conducted actuary audits for TRS and SURS, so they have familiarity with the benefit provisions of both systems. In servicing our account, Ms. Nichols will be assisted by a seven-person team, all of whom are based in Chicago. That's outlined on page 10 of the proposal. They have a significant experience working with a number of other states as well, which is on page 13 of the proposal. And they have 146 staff here in Chicago. We'd be happy to answer any questions you might have in terms of the process and how we went about it. But we believe, based on the staff that they have and their experience, and given the cost, that this is by far the best proposal that we received.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Representative Riley, then Co-Chair Bellick.
Thank you. Looking at the scoring chart, just tell me, what were some of the intangibles? What comprise intangibles when looking at the different actuarial firms?
Such things as, one, they have a presence here in Illinois, a significant presence in Illinois. They have a very strong staff. The fact that that Kim Nichols has worked directly with some of the state systems. Those are some of the issues that.
So whether they had done any work with the state and their location were the intangibles?
That was a couple of them, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Intangibles only. I should have said that experience was 250. There was 500 points.
Right.
Experience was 250. Work approach was 150. Cost was 50. And intangibles were 50.
Okay. No, I just want to know what the intangibles were. The intangibles were sort of,
for example,
predetermined before you went into the evaluation process.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Bellick and Representative Nekritz.
Thank you. Just in looking at the bids also, there was such a huge discrepancy between two of them. I just wondered if they were straight on what the bid was about the Chiron.
Yeah, the costs were... I think that you get into these situations and there's firms that really want the business. And I think that Foster and Foster and Siegel were two of those firms. Foster & Foster is a good firm, but they have a very limited staff, and very limited amount of experience. In fact, they have any experience, I think, working with state government and the state systems. And that's why they simply scored lower. Their experience in the work approach simply wasn't in the same category as you see with Siegel.
I was really
Sherian
looking at,
was an excellent firm, but I mean, I think that in a lot of these cases, the firms give a discounted rate for state government than what they might charge in their other book of business. Mm-hmm. And so a firm like Cherian, who was excellent proposal, but the price, $270,000, was outside of our range.
Representative Nekritz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So what is our budget for that we would anticipate for this kind of a position?
About $85,000.
Oh, it is. Okay.
We paid last year, I think, around $70,000. It varies from year to year. It depends on how much, because part of it is putting together, and Dan can explain this, but all the information that goes in this publication and all the projections. In fact, why don't you go ahead and explain that part of it?
Well, a great deal of the work does involve the long-term projections, as Dan mentioned, that go into the financial condition report. Also, the actuary is expected to do a baseline valuation and sort of a separate valuation incorporating the retirement system's assumptions to generate an independent set of long-term projections that we publish year after year in this report so that people can look and see two different actuaries have done this work and that COGFA's actuaries within, you know, a stone's throw of the system's actuaries. So that's the bulk of what the actuary does for this report. And then, of course, there's costing out various legislative proposals, preparing impact notes, and just fielding a lot of requests from staff for, you know, can you tweak this? Can we tweak this? Can we lengthen the funding period? Can we change the COLA? Just a lot of ideas that are sort of spitball that don't ever really come into being as a bill, and some do, but that's kind of in a nutshell what we expect the actuary to do.
Those latter examples that you gave, those are things that would be included in this price. They would not be on an ad hoc basis.
The RFP contemplated 200 hours of costing out legislative proposals. Yes.
Is that a lot? A little? I have no idea.
That's consistent with what Mr. Goldstein performed over the years.
And by the way, if it's less than that, then the cost would be less than $85,000.
Okay.
That's
the base.
What are the other states that Siegel's participated in? Do you know?
Yes. I think if Senator Schoenberg's got the report right next to him, if you look on, I think, page 13,
it's got a whole outline. You referred to it like a significant number of states,
yes.
Not just a handful.
And I think you can take a look at it, right?
Okay.
I don't have a copy of the proposal right in front of me, but there's California comes to mind.
City of St. Louis.
A whole series of states.
Okay. Does this contract? It scares me a little bit when you say that Mr. Goldstein had been there since before you started with COGFA, and I would, you know, we depend a lot on these actuaries, and I would like us to review this more frequently, maybe than we have in the past. And I think with the implementation of the state actuary, you know, that will help us as well. But how long do we contemplate the contract would be here?
Well, we could do it yearly. I think we've contemplated in here like on a 4-year basis is what they bid.
Okay. I'm not troubled by four years. I mean, I don't, you know.
5 years, but we can bid it anytime we want. It doesn't lock us in. They bid over a 5-year period because a lot of times there's a lot of work in getting started in these types of contracts.
Yeah.
But we're not locked in beyond a year. And I think you're right. I think it's probably a good idea to maybe review this more often than we had in the past. I don't know how it came about.
I can understand. I mean, you know, look, that. I mean, up until fairly recently, this just hasn't really been a big issue for us. But in the last several years, this has been significant. And I think through the last year, you know, really realized that to call it actuarial science is a misnomer. And I think, and so we need to, I would like to make sure that we're getting the best advice we can get, and I think it behooves us to every once in a while relook at this. So I don't know what the right term is, but I would think at least every 3 to 4 years we ought to be reviewing that.
Absolutely, and I think that's the commission's wishes. We can certainly do that. This may. Sandra was great because he had such historical knowledge and all these databases he'd built up over the years, but maybe this is a good thing, actually, to get a fresh perspective, to be honest with you.
It feels that way to me. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Did we answer your question? Did you get a chance to look at those other states?
It's fine. I'll look at it.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion? Is there a motion? Moved by Representative Riley. Do you want to attach a time frame to your motion on the approval of engagement of a particular vendor? But the duration of it? Three years?
We could review it.
Why don't you go on the mic?
I'm sorry. To go back into discussion, there is something to be said when you engage in these kinds of contracts with actuaries, giving them time to do what they do. I mean, Bayesian analysis is Bayesian analysis, but the kinds of things that actuaries do, they do need some time to implement their plans, or they may have a particular set of programs or something like that. So I think that, you know, there should be some time frame given. I wouldn't have a problem with 4 years.
Right. I'm okay with that.
All right, there's a motion by Representative Riley for a four-year engagement by Siegel. Is that correct? All right. Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Belloc. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Belloc? Senator Frerichs?
Yes.
Senator Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Nekritz? Representative Poe? Representative Riley?
Yes.
Senator Schmidt? Senator Schoenberg?
Aye.
Senator Severson? Senator Trotter? Representative Tryon?
Total of 7 members voting yes, none voting no, none voting present. Motion carries.
Thank you for your support and for the comments. And anytime you have any questions about any of this, obviously, just let us know.
Thank you. Just so we all understand, we do reserve the right on an annual basis to revisit this.
Yeah, we could revisit this each year. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good.
And if anybody wants to, you know, any of you would ever want to talk directly to the
As Senator Trotter has accurately pointed out, that's the editorial we. You'll send me a postcard next year and let me know what you did. They're seeing no further business. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Belloc.
Thank you very much. New business. I'd just like to get an update on the status of the closure of Thompson Prison, or the sale or closure, and an update on the closures of the other facilities we had the hearings in. Thank you.
All right. Many of those are moving forward, I believe, but Thompson, just from my understanding, the federal government doesn't have the money. The Bureau of Prisons has the money apparently in their budget, but they have to move it around, and they haven't been able to get approval from. Yeah, the congressman who controls that subcommittee, so they haven't been able to get the $140 million to purchase the prison. So I guess I understand Senator Durbin was going to talk directly to him to try to get that moving along, but that's been the holdup, is my understanding, on Thompson. But we can certainly get you update on TAMS and some of the other prisons as well, and other facilities, not just prisons.
Any other business? There's being no further business before the commission. We now stand adjourned.